Dave Leventhal is on the WBEN Liveline this morning, our Washington insider. President Trump returns to the White House today from Scotland, riding a wave of major trade victories. Dave, who's next on the list for a deal?
Yeah, well, that really depends, Susan. So, I mean, we have multiple deals happening all at once, or maybe not happening, leading up to August 1st. And so August 1st is sort of Liberation Day 2.0, if you will, if you hearken back to what happened at the beginning of April. Donald Trump, of course, then declared that there would be massive tariffs that would be slapped on numerous countries. And of course, a lot has happened in the 3 months since then. And here we are in the situation that we find ourselves in, with trade deals potentially being reached in places all over the world. The EU seems to be locked, sealed in, delivered, although there are details still being worked out. Japan is another country where the details are seemingly solid, but there are not exactly, the ink is dry on the document. China, Canada, Mexico, Indonesia, Vietnam, I mean, you name it, there are deals either being struck, have been struck, or are in the process of being struck. But there may be other nations, Brazil being one of them, where this may not necessarily be a deadline that that comes and goes and is final. It may come and go, and we still may have work to do. So all of this is to say that Donald Trump has been incredibly fluid despite these deadlines with these deals. And so long as the United States is in the driver's seat, in his estimation, that's what he really cares about.
We're still very focused on what happens with Canada here in Western New York, for obvious reasons, it being just north of the border and, you know, so much happening between us and them. But it seems like Wall Street is not really scared off by this idea of tariffs anymore. Whether it's a new tariff announced or a new deal struck, the needle doesn't move like it used to.
Yeah, and I think Wall Street has become either immune to this, or has become inoculated to this, or maybe is just taking a wait-and-see approach. I mean, we cannot necessarily always predict the collective hive-mind approach for Wall Street to what has been, whether you love it or whether you hate it, a very chaotic situation over the past many months when it comes to international trade deals and tariffs. So that wait and see approach is something that that you can expect, and it applies to Canada. Obviously, there are numerous very high stakes actions that are coming in place with Canada. We have so many different goods that that go both ways in the border. Obviously, if you live in Buffalo or Western New York, this is all heightened to an exponential level relative to what it might be if you were living in Nebraska or Arizona. Just given the reliance that we have on trade going back and forth, even on the most local of levels. And are Canadians going to come and shop in the stores in Buffalo and go to the Galleria Mall and go to Niagara Falls? So, I mean, this is a huge issue locally, but one when it comes to everything from lumber, timber, aluminum, steel, oil, you name it. There are numerous products and industries and sectors that are affected profoundly by what ultimately happens between Canada and the United States as it applies to trade.
And when it comes to Vladimir Putin, the president seems to be turning up the heat on him regarding that 50-day ceasefire with Ukraine.
Well, we've seen this with Vladimir Putin. We've also seen this with Benjamin Netanyahu. So there are some, as we talk about tariffs here, some major foreign policy implications from a war standpoint and a fighting standpoint as it applies to Russia. Yeah, this 50-day deadline, it's always been a little bit hazy and gauzy as to what exactly is going to happen at the end of this, and also to what's going to be happening in the interim. So Donald Trump has been rhetorically turning up the heat, but is this going to actually result in some sort of tangible change? We will see.
I mean, how much more severe? All these economic sanctions have been on Russia since the beginning of this war. I mean, what really does the U.S. have left to threaten Putin with?
Yeah, this is around the margins, Brian, and you asked kind of the critical question here. Is this really going to affect Russia in any profound way? These sanctions have been sanctions in the broadest sense. They've also been sanctions in a very narrow sense, affecting and targeting individuals within Vladimir Putin's orbit, say nothing of him and his own family. But it hasn't obviously stopped the war, but Donald Trump is using every economic lever that he thinks he can use. But yeah, does go back very much to the question of, is this going to be to any effect? I think anyone would have to be skeptical to say that it would, just given the history of the past 3 years.
All right, Dave, today is National Chicken Wing Day. Can you get a good chicken wing in D.C.?
The easy answer is no in D.C. proper, at least if you grew up in the Buffalo area. I will send a shout out to Jimmy's Old Town Tavern in Virginia. Jimmy, a Buffalonian, great guy, who definitely makes a great wing. I would say that would probably be the best that I've gotten, unless you go to the Anchor Bar Outpost about an hour north of D.C. In Maryland, where they do have an Anchor Bar. There's some weird places all around the country that do, including San Antonio, where I have family. So that's always fun.
There's a place in Virginia I know. Lucas was just wearing their shirt yesterday, but I don't know how close it is to you, Dave. That's the only problem there. I know Virginia, but
and you know what? You gotta wonder, is it a former Buffalonian?
It is.
Okay.
It has to be. It always is.
It would have to be.
They know what they're doing. Hey, Dave, thanks as always. Dave Leventhal, our Washington insider, joining us live here on WBEN.